Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. Well, we've been talking about pure faith for the last few Sundays, and it's been this journey from not knowing God to knowing God, and it involves lots of little steps that get us closer to God. How many know in lots of processes you have steps, right? And so there's all these steps, and each step refines us, each step purifies us so that we can be a better version of ourselves, so that we can be more able to interact with God and be involved in His kingdom activity upon the earth. So that we can be a better version of what God has intended us to be. So sometimes this process is hard, right? We talked about that. Sometimes this process is a lot of work, but it's worth it to be refined and be purified in our faith because it creates greater value in us. How many know some of the times that you sacrificed the most, whether it was in athletics or whether it was in your area of expertise with your career, it's created greater value in you? Well, the spiritual side is no different from the standpoint of as we go through the process of faith, and we are refined and we're purified, it creates greater value. And as we go through this process, we become better leaders, better parents, better spouses, better friends, better human beings. So when we talk about pure faith, we talk about going through the process to become more refined and effective as a leader. Today I want to talk about removing the kryptonite. Somebody say that, removing. I believe that as Christians, we're like Superman. Anybody, I'm sure most people have heard the story, read some comic books, or watched a movie about the Man of Steel. He may look like everyone else, but he came from another planet. He can fly through the air. He has super hearing, super strength, super speed, x-ray vision, heat vision. Bullets just bounce off of him. He's virtually invulnerable. Except for kryptonite. These are radioactive pieces of his home world. So if he comes near kryptonite, even though as powerful as he is, he loses all of his strength, he becomes weaker than a normal man. And if he stays around kryptonite long enough, he will die. As Christians, we're like supermen and superwomen. We're given these abilities that God gives us to go far beyond what we could do regularly, far beyond what the average person can do. But just like Superman, there is a kryptonite that we as Christians have as well. And that kryptonite can cause these powerful Christians that are meant to be world changers to grow weak and ineffective. And that kryptonite can cause Christians to be vulnerable to attacks from the enemy. This kryptonite for Christians is called sin. Sin. So God delivered us out of sin so that we can be this new creation, right? We're supposed to be a new creation. But when we fall back into our sin, we lose the special power that God has intended for us. And the longer we stay in that sin without repentance and returning to our position in Christ, we start to forget who we are. And we start to forget what power that belongs to the sons and daughters of God. So that's why we have many ineffective Christians in the world today, right? It's like you would think, shouldn't more Christians have power, real power? But it's the spiritual kryptonite that causes Christians to fail when they should succeed. It's the sin in our lives that we don't deal with that strips us of our power in Christ. Listen to this contrast in Romans 6:23. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." So we see sin causes death. Wherever sin goes, wherever sin touches, it brings death, either immediate, eventual, spiritual, natural. Sin causes death. The wages of sin is death. The moment that Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. They were doomed to natural death. It was going to happen. They weren't going to live forever, not in that state, right? So when we begin to touch sin, something in us will begin to die, right? Whether it's spiritual, whether it's something natural, whether it's relationships that God has brought into our life, whether it's the blessing that God is trying to get to you, something begins to die, decay. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. On the other side, this is what God wants us. God says that the free gift from God is eternal life. This is what God wants to get to each and every one of us. He wants to get us away from the kryptonite. He wants to get us to the free gift, which is eternal life. John 10:10, Jesus says the enemy comes to what? Steal, kill, and to destroy. But I have come to give you life and give it to you abundantly. Like it's going to be overflowing. Like you're going to have such a good life. It's overflowing. Like David said, my cup runs over. And so this is the imagery that God gives us. So what is our action steps if we realize that sin causes death? God's gift is infinite life. Colossians 3:5-10. Paul says, so put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. I like how he said that. And those things, they're sneaky. They'll sneak up. They'll lurk into your life. They'll find a place, a way to get in there. That, or you thought you got rid of them to try to sneak back in. They lurk, right? So he says, put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you, have nothing to do with, and he gives a couple of examples, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming, right? So we know that God is coming to judge the world, right? I want to be on the right side of what he's judging. Anybody want to be there? I want to be on the right side, right? So it says, it's because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still a part of the world, but now is the time to get rid of, and he gives some other examples, anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. I like this concept, stripping off the old sinful nature. When you go and you have to change clothes at the house, you know, you take one piece off at a time, right? You don't take your shirt off and take your shoes off at the same time, right? You take your shoes off, then you take your shirt off, however you do. He says, strip off the old nature. So piece by piece, as I'm going through this process, I'm going to strip away the things that no longer belong to this new nature, no longer belong to this new life. I'm going to strip it off one at a time. I'm going to work in conjunction with the Holy Spirit. He's going to help me. He's going to partner with me to help me strip off and identify what I need to take off. And I'm going to put on a new nature, right? I'm going to put on the righteousness of Christ. So instead of letting sin take you out, Paul says, take the sin out. Right? What a great thought process. Instead of sin taking you out, the wages of sin is death, he says, get rid of, put to death sin in your life. Instead of sin putting you to death, you put sin to death. Literally, take sin out of your life with the help of the Holy Spirit, with the help of what Jesus did. And yes, it's a lot of work. Sin, getting sin out is a lot of work. Some people, they think that being a Christian is easy. No, it's difficult. It's one of the most difficult things in life to do. And the further that you mature, God will ask you to do more increasingly difficult things, right? When the disciples first came, he said, hey, come and follow me. I'll teach you to be fishers of men. I said, that sounds pretty accessible, right? We fish in the natural. He's going to teach us to fish in the spiritual. That's great. We'll do that. Follow you. By the end, he said, I want you to pick up your cross and follow me. Said, you know, are you willing to lay your life down? You know, he started asking big things, hard things. So being a Christian, we graduate from process to process. So yes, it's a process. It's work. But to get the stuff out of your life that is literally killing you, spiritually, right? Literally killing you in other areas, I'd say it's an important work for us all to focus on. Getting rid of sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language, lots of stuff, right? It's like the Holy Spirit is going to help us identify the different areas of our life, right? There's some things that we do know. There's some things that we're like, the Holy Spirit is going to highlight it and show you, and you work from there. You don't get rid of sin, all of your sin, overnight, right? It's a process. You go through a process of refining. I'm still in the process. Everybody in this room is still in the process of refining. You go through this process of purification so that you can put death, all of the kryptonite in your life, to death. Because you were meant to be powerful upon the earth. Put your hand on your chest and say, I was meant to be powerful on the earth. You have to believe that. I was meant to be undefeated. I was meant to be like Christ. I was meant to be the hands and feet of Jesus. I was meant to be more than a conqueror. I was meant that no weapon formed against me will prosper. What does that look like? Well, I got to get the kryptonite out of my life so that I can be this Superman, this Superwoman, right? To the world around us. The world is actually waiting for us to take our proper place and be who God created us to be and who Christ redeemed us to be. This is what Romans 8:19 says, for the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. So the earth is waiting. The world is waiting for you to step up and be what God created you to be. The Superman, the Superwoman. But see, that's the thing. The enemy wants to tangle you up with kryptonite so that you're never able to emerge as the hero that you were meant to be. God created you to be a hero. A hero like Jesus was a hero, right? You're not Jesus, but you'll be like Jesus, right? None of us are perfect, right? But we're going to be becoming more and more perfected, right? So I want to get the things out of my life, the kryptonite out of my life, that I can be more and more what God has called for me to be. Bold and courageous, right? For all this to happen, we've got to be bold, courageous, and self-sacrificing. This is, when I look at Jesus, I see someone who's bold. He was not afraid to speak the truth and do the hard things. Even when the audience was looking at him like, what? He was bold, he was courageous, and he was self-sacrificing. Paul tells us we need to put some things to death. There are things that we have to get rid of if we want to move forward in our relationship with God. If we want to move forward in our faith journey, we have to get rid of some things. Absolutely bury them. He says, put them to death. Put those old ways like they're not able to come back anymore, right? Paul gives us examples of what we need to get rid of, but the overarching thought is this. There are things we need to put to death so we can walk in life. Guys, we can't embrace death and life at the same time. You can't embrace sin and the new nature at the same time. You can't do it. You have to embrace the new nature and say, oh, I'm working on that. Let me get rid of that. I'm working on the new nature. Let me get rid of that. I'm working on the new nature. Let me get rid of that. I'm working on the new nature. I'm getting rid of that. But if I say, man, I'm going to embrace some of these old habits and hangups, I'm not letting them go. God understands. No, you can't have one fist gripping the old way and a new fist trying to hold on to your walk with Christ. One of them is going to lose. One of them is going to lose. So it's better for us to understand in our mind. He says, look, if you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out. It's better for you to be all the way hot and say, man, God, I give you everything. I'm willing to sacrifice, strip off anything that's keeping me from you. Or just be cold. Because a lukewarm person is only deceiving themselves. They're not in. They think that they're in, and I think that's the worst thing. Like, if you're out and you know you're out and you're all right with being out, that's better than to think you're getting in and you're not getting in. But he said, God said, better to be hot or cold. So God has given us something beautiful and new and fresh and vibrant. Why would we ever want to pollute that going back to the old life? What God has for us is a new nature. Somebody say new nature. Somebody say new template. So what God has given us is a new nature, a new template for life. God has a new operating system, and the old operating system and programming of this world is not compatible. It doesn't work. It doesn't work together. There's no compatibility between the new nature, heaven's nature, God's nature, the nature that Christ has and displayed for us, and the old sinful nature. Our relationship with God through Jesus Christ comes with a completely different operating system built to build our lives on. This is the new nature. There is a new way to do everything. So we have to let go of the past. We have to learn the new ways, right? Jesus said, if you love me, follow my commands. Learn the new way. Learn the new operating system. Learn how I'm showing you how to do things. Paul said, don't conform. Don't go back and do the old thing any longer, but be transformed by renewing your mind. It's a new operating system, a fresh slate, right? So God has given us something new. Instead of looking to the past, let's look deeper at God to understand our function. His words are the instructions and the way to understand this new operating system. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 17:20, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move, and it will go from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. And for those that don't know, a mustard seed is about 1 to 2 millimeters in size. You could hold it like this between your fingers. Jesus said, if you just have the smallest amount of faith, you can leverage miracles in your life. If you just have the smallest amount of faith, when you're operating on this system, you can leverage healing. You can leverage breakthrough. You can financial abundance. You can leverage all kinds of things, and nothing will be impossible for you. Let's talk about this operating system. It runs on faith. Even if you have a little bit of faith, you can get started with this new operating system. But you got to have faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. But if you even have a little bit of faith, you can start your journey. You can work. You can begin to work in this operating system. And that's so great. Even at the beginning stages, you have, even if you have a little faith, you can move mountains. Jesus says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, what can you leverage your faith to do? I'm telling you, what you can leverage your faith to do is monumental. And Jesus goes on to say, and nothing will be impossible for those that are running on this operating system. This operating system of faith. Nothing will be impossible to you when you're running on this. No breakthrough, no healing, no limitations will stop you. If you're on the faith operating system, you're moving towards your purpose. Nothing will be impossible. That's a pretty big promise. Look at somebody and say, that's a big promise. But let me tell you something. God always delivers on his promises. So we see this. This new nature sounds so amazing. We hear about it. We listen to it. So why doesn't everybody jump on the bandwagon and say, I want the new nature. I'm going to get rid of all the old. I can see this is a better promise. This is a better deal. Where do I sign up? Why do people not jump on this? I believe it's because people don't see clearly what God is doing. They think that what we're doing doesn't necessarily work because it's not working for some people. But why is it not working? We don't talk enough about that. The reason why it doesn't work the same with everybody is oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes it's sin. Sin is appealing, it's tempting, and the devil dresses it up to make it look better, and many choose sin over the new life. Some in big ways, some in small ways, but they choose sin over the new life in Christ. And what a tragic deception for people to miss out on the fullness of God's promises. And it's not just unbelievers that are missing out on the promises of God. Many Christians are missing out on certain promises because they're not willing to let go of certain things. Right? So they're walking in some of the promises of God. Yeah, they're going to heaven, but they're not willing to let go of sin in certain areas of their life, and so they're not walking in the fullness. How many here want the fullness? So when we talk about pure faith, that's what we're talking about, is learning how to walk in the fullness, that elevated place of, I'm stripping this away, all the things that so easily weigh me down so I can run a race with endurance, run a race in such a way to win. So here's the tragic deception, right? And many Christians are missing out on this because they're not willing to let go of some of the old operating system. There are some sins that they just like too much, if we're honest, right? We've all had sins that we liked, and it was difficult to let it go, right? Some in the room you're sitting there thinking about, I need to let this go. God wants us to have full access to all his operating system gives us. How do we do that? Get rid of the kryptonite. Get rid of the old operating system, the old fragments, all the old programming, all the old coding. See, some people don't understand. The greater the surrender, the greater the power. The reason why Jesus was so powerful is because he was so surrendered. He said, I don't do anything I don't first see the Father do. He was absolutely and completely surrendered. He was absolutely and completely powerful. The Holy Spirit was moving through him in ways that has never been seen. The more that we step into the process to be purified, the more we lay down sin and pick up purpose, it's a beautiful exchange. Are we willing to lay down sins that the Holy Spirit exposes in us so that we can operate on a higher capacity? Right? We talked about increased capacity. So this year, the theme, increased capacity. So one of the ways that we increase capacity is what? We strip away stuff that's holding us back. Strip away kryptonite out of your life. We increase capacity, increase our ability to do good, to help people, to be blessed, to elevate our family, right? To elevate our church, to do kingdom things. I want to increase my capacity in God, in life, with people, with purpose. Even if it's uncomfortable. Look at somebody and say, even if it's uncomfortable. I hope you mean that. Because surrender can be uncomfortable. Because let's be honest, we all want to do it our way. And so it's hard to pray that prayer that Jesus prayed. Not my will, but your will be done. So that means that Jesus was feeling some stuff. Even in himself, that he wanted to do differently in that moment. I didn't say he sinned. I said he was feeling some things inside of him that he wanted to do differently than God's will. I'm sure he loved the disciples. He wanted to maybe continue and stay and do the ministry as it had been going. But not my will, but yours. More surrender, more power. More surrender, more power. Have you ever been tricked? I mean, like really tricked, whether it was on the playground as a little kid or you just like entered a bad business deal, but you were tricked. I don't know about you. I've been tricked a couple times. The enemy is trying to trick people out of their purpose, out of their destiny, out of the power that God has for them, out of the life, out of the goodness of God. Sometimes it's this, that. Sometimes it's real malicious trickery. The biggest trick is the one that the devil plays in convincing so many people that they don't need what Jesus is offering. The reason everyone is not using the faith operating system is because they've been tricked. Imagine a God that loves his people so much. He created them perfect. They messed that up. He sent them Jesus to bring them back into right standing with him. And some people still don't accept the free gift, the access, the operating system, the new nature that God is so lovingly, willingly giving them. We have access by faith to a whole new operating system. But many people and people around us every day don't realize the goodness of God. This beautiful new system of thinking. See, sin pollutes and causes the new system not to work as intended, and people look and they're tricked into thinking that it doesn't work. Because there's people on the operating system that have unrepentant sin in their lives. And so the operating system isn't working the way that it's supposed to. I didn't say the operating system doesn't work. I said the operating system isn't working for them. And maybe you got some areas that the Holy Spirit is pointing out to you. I know I can't even get up here on the stage and without the Holy Spirit highlighting some areas in me. It's important that we address those areas of sin, because those areas of sin entangle us, corrupt the system, cause us not to be able to operate in the fullness and have the full access that God intended us. The devil will use your sins. He can't stop you, but he can use your sins against you. He can use your sins against you. Not my sins, not the person on your row. It's not that the devil is so powerful. He's just tricky. From the very beginning, he didn't come down and kick Adam and Eve out of the garden. He didn't do that. He got Adam and Eve to kick themselves out of the garden through their sin. And he still does this today. Guys, God created you to be a Superman, a Superwoman. And the devil tricks you into embracing kryptonite. And we wear it around our neck like it's some piece of jewelry. We think that it's some type of medal or badge of honor. Oh, you know, well, that's just me. No. We're created to be like God. We're created to operate like Christ, to be powerful, to be surrendered. And surrender that stuff if you got stuff. We all have stuff, right? And so the Holy Spirit identifies it. And then it's our job to begin to deal with it. The world looks at us as we're on this new operating system of faith, and they say, why is it not working for them? Why is everything not working for them? I'm not sure if I want it if it doesn't work. So the devil not only tricks us, but he tricks others that would come to faith. Because they say, why are the blessings of God not working in your life? Why is the healing of God not working in your life? Why is this not working in your life? Why is that not working in your life? Some prayers go unanswered. Some miracles don't happen. Some breakthroughs never occur because sin causes our systems to malfunction. This is why the process of purification is so valuable. It makes our mind, our body, our spirits to function the way they were designed to operate. Purification brings the power back. It enhances our relationship with God. It gets us closer to purpose. It's a process that's value cannot be ignored. It's difficult to quantify the power and importance of this process. There's power in repentance, right? I didn't say that we would be perfect. One day we will. But we can be repentant. We can live a life to say, God, I'm willing to strip that off. God, help me strip this off. God, I see that you've identified this in my life. I don't want that in my life anymore. God, I see in your word I'm not supposed to do that. God, help me strip that off. That is a repentant life. Versus an unrepentant sin, which is, well, you know, that's just me. That's just life. God knows my heart. Yeah, he knows your heart, and he wants you to change. He wants us all to change, right? So it's a process. It's a lifelong journey of identifying the things, repenting, getting them out. That's the process that leads us to pure faith. It's not about being religious. It's about being close to God. David didn't say, who will ascend to perfect religion? He said, who will ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who will get close to God? The person that has clean hands, clean behavior, pure heart. They're not got the wrong thought process. They're not holding grudges against people. They got revenge in their hearts. Purification is about fulfilling purpose. It's about aligning with God's value system. It's about reclaiming our identity and birthright as the children of God. It's about following in the footsteps of Jesus. The process is not just for pastors or ministers. It's for everyone who believes. It's for all of us. This process is hard work, but it's necessary work. And it brings great value. There's no way to articulate the value that it will bring into your life when you begin to get strip stuff out of your life that is holding you back. So this process, it brings value. It brings us closer to the Father. So I want to pray for you today, and this is a special prayer. It's a prayer of repentance. Would you stand with me today? I want to pray together. It's all about getting right with God, getting close to God, getting the power that He promised you. There's some breakthroughs that you're believing for in your life. I know. I've talked to many of you about different breakthroughs that you're looking for. When we get the things out of our life that are causing the delay, we're going to see more miracles, we're going to see more breakthroughs, we're going to see more healings. This is about taking the power back that the enemy has tried to have in your life. Let's pray together. God, I thank you, Lord, for each and every person. Would you just put your hand on your heart and just repeat after me? Just say, God, change me. Help me be more like you. Help me strip away all the things that keep me from you. I'm willing to go on the process of repentance, of purification, because I want to please you. I want to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. I want to be surrendered, and I want to be powerful. I want to do good upon the earth. I want to help others. I want to be somebody that you can use. Take me on the journey for a pure faith. Not a surface faith. Not going through the motions. But a pure faith. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give God the praise today. Wow. Turn to a couple people and tell them, I'm ready for the process. I'm ready for the process.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.